Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Wonderful here at your service. My website is www.jbsba.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And ladies and gentlemen, if I said to you that my next guest is a former congressman from Delaware, if I said he was a former governor from Delaware, if I said he was a former presidential candidate, if I said that he's the guy who really got people talking about flat tax long before anybody else did, you'd know who I was talking about. You'd say, yeah, that's Pete DuPont, wouldn't you? Well, you'd be right. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. I just said some of the things, just a few of the things that you know about him and all the things that he's done as a leader, as a significant and important leader of this nation over the years. He's also the chairman, the policy chairman at the National Center for Policy Analysis. But more importantly, he's our friend. Governor Pete DuPont, welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, thank you. My goodness, that introduction, maybe I just ought to hang up and just go with the introduction. But it's always good to be on your program. You have good insights, good thinking, and I expect a lot of people tune in to find out what the right answer to questions is.
Well, mainly because I have really smart people like you on the show, and I appreciate you joining us. There is one thing, though, that I really wish that I could have added to your, or I should say maybe made an adjustment in the introduction there. I wish I could have said former president of the, I wish instead of calling you governor now, I was calling you president, because I would like to have lived in an America where Pete DuPont had been president.
Well, you're very kind. We had a wonderful campaign. We talked about some things like Social Security and flat taxes that they're still talking about, so we were part of the debate, and that was a good thing.
Well, you forced the debate. You brought the debate up on those last two issues, and you don't get enough credit for that either, in my opinion.
Well,
but I try to make sure that we do. Let's talk about one of my favorite topics first, Governor, and that's free trade. And of course the issue of the moment is the cause du jour, so to speak, is the Central American and Dominican Republic Free Trade Agreement, which is also nicknamed CAFTA. Now, that passed recently, didn't it? And the president has signed it.
The president signed it, just 2 days ago.
Yep.
And it's a terrific thing to talk about, and particularly for the audience that tunes into your program, because there are a lot of small businessmen who think a lot about trade. And you know, the trade war has been going on in this country for a long time. Any of the of your older listeners might even remember something called the Smoot-Hawley tariff bill of 1930, the five-star failure,
right,
of international trade.
The protectionist policy that sent us into the Depression.
Indeed it did. It put up a wall against trade, and U.S. exports dropped by about 60%. Anyhow, that's history. So the debate still goes on, and the CAFTA debate was really about whether America ought to be trading with other countries. And the issue is pretty simple. Should we have trade of goods with other countries, or should we produce everything that we need in America within our borders? It's kind of the free trade,
mm-hmm,
on the one hand, and protectionism on the other. And trade is a very good thing for us. You look at NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, which was passed 10 years ago. That added 1 million new jobs in America. American trade with Mexico tripled. Exports to Canada and Mexico went way up, much faster than imports from them. So trade gives customers in stores more choices, higher prices, lower prices, this quality, that quality. And trade also means a lot of jobs in American companies, because we can export to the countries we import from.
Right. The thing that happens, though, and I try to be balanced in my arguments whenever I whenever I make a position. And I'm completely in line with you. I subscribe to CAFTA. I talked about it. We talked about it on the show a number of times over the last several months, encouraging my audience to encourage their delegation to vote for it. But as you and I both know, when trade happens and when it's successful, and when the natural flow of the marketplace happens, it creates winners and it creates losers. And what happens, unfortunately, is the losers have to find something else to do. They have to find something else to, another way to make a living. But it's always been so. And that's the thing that I like to point out. And we're going to come back to this after these messages. We're going to come back and talk about this some more with Governor Pete DuPont. But it's always been so, folks, when the automobile industry emerged, the buggy whip people had to learn how to do something else. There's always been winners and losers, and so there's nothing about that that's new under the sun. 2022, we'll be right back with our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont. Stay with us.
Everything goes wrong, you have to go on and do it all down.
We're back at 17 till 43 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Pete DuPont, Governor Pete DuPont, former governor of the great state of Delaware and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. And he's policy chairman at the National Center for Policy Analysis. That's ncpa.org, isn't it, Governor?
That's correct.
ncpa.org. And tell us a little bit about NCPA.
Well, it's a think tank. We deal with mostly economic issues, taxes, trade, health care, Social Security, and we try to put out some analyses that make some sense using the right kind of numbers, and we get some terrific arguments. Man, the Social Security debate, we've got people in 10 different states who are talking about the Social Security challenge, whether we ought to go to individually owned accounts or just raise Social Security taxes on everyone. And it's a terrific organization because we have a debate like the ones on your show about the important things that are going on.
Absolutely. And I encourage you folks to check it out when you get a chance, ncpa.org. We're going to come back to free trade, CAFTA, Central American Free Trade Agreement, which is obviously very intuitive. It's dealing with companies in the southern parts of this hemisphere. Governor, I keep thinking about Occam's Razor and Adam Smith when I think about free trade. Occam's Razor basically said the simplest answer is usually the best. Is usually the correct one. And to me, Occam's Razor for trade is at what Adam Smith said when he said that, when he talked about the division of labor. All free trade is, all trade is, and all globalization is, it's division of labor, isn't it?
Well, it sure is, because we live in a rapidly changing world now. I mean, it's not like it was in the 1930s and 1940s. We have computers now. Well, look at all the people working in the computer industry. They used to be working somewhere else. But now the demand is in high technology, so people have shifted there. As things change, some jobs disappear, new jobs are added. And to use an example we're all familiar with, it's EasyPass. EasyPass has made it so much easier to go through toll gates on superhighways, and yet it has cost some people who used to take your dollar toll, it has cost some jobs there. Well, those people had to move over, learn to become EasyPass operators, perhaps in technology in a back room of the highway department. But as the world changes, new goods come onto the market, new services come onto the market, and it's vitally important that America be able to buy those things if we want to buy them, not buy them if we don't like them, but we have to be part of the process, and that's why trade's so important.
That's right. We have to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And protectionism, in my opinion, is part of the problem, because when you say anything that sounds like protectionist language, what you're basically saying is, I would rather protect what I have than to move forward and find something new. Or as a friend of mine says, what he says in the positive rather than the negative. He says that, that when he was the most successful was when he was willing to risk what he knew for what he might learn.
No, that's very well put, and you absolutely have to keep up with what's going on. And are we outsourcing today some of our service jobs to India and to China? Yes, we are. And Thomas Friedman's just written a new book called The World is Flat,
mm-hmm.
And he goes into all these kind of questions in some depth. But sure, we're exporting some jobs, but we're also selling an enormous amount of technology products.
Right.
To India, to China, so that they can have these jobs that serve American companies. So
there are plenty of examples.
Every coin.
Also, Governor, there are plenty of examples where standard of living in the United States has been improved by the trade that we're doing all over the world.
Oh, that's absolutely
true.
You cannot have
an honest discussion about outsourcing, about world trade, about globalization, whether it's good or bad. You cannot have that honest discussion in an honest way if you don't include standard of living not only for us but for our trading partners.
Exactly so. And when we start a trade with a small African country, a Central American country, it does a lot for American buyers, but it does a lot for the producers in those smaller low-income countries. So it's making the world a better place as well as giving Americans better choices.
Absolutely. And I love, and my audience has heard me say this 100 times before, but I'm going to say it 100 times again, folks. It's a quote from Frederick Bastiat, the great 19th century economist and comedian. I always thought he was also kind of a comedian because of the way he tells his stories. He says, when goods cross borders, armies don't. And you cannot talk about globalization in an honest way if you don't also contemplate the peace dividend that you get from trade.
Right, and I think if you go back to Smoot-Hawley in 1930, that was one of the beginnings that led to the Second World War.
Right.
It created such an awful economy internationally that a lot of countries in Europe began to act very differently, and so we finally, in 1941, had to go to war.
Right, absolutely. Now, there's no question about it, and so, you know, another thing about CAFTA is basically the disadvantages were already established for Americans. We were already dealing in a negative way. There were tariffs on us, but not tariffs going to them. And so what CAFTA did was basically made the playing field level for both parties.
Exactly.
So
right.
So we got more out of that bargain than the folks down there did. Take a quick break, Governor. We're going to be right back, folks, with Governor Pete DuPont after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont, a great American, ladies and gentlemen, somebody that I've admired for a long time. He's currently policy chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis. He just can't stop contributing to the debate on we have in America about which way we should be going. And Governor, on behalf of all Americans, I thank you for your leadership over the years.
Well, thanks. You're very kind. But I just love the serious debates. You know, where we go in something like trade, how our tax system is organized, whether our retirement system is going to go on exactly like it is at greater cost, or whether we're going to go to private accounts, whether it's individual ownership. Those are wonderful things to talk about because they impact everybody in America.
Right. No question about it. But I want to ask you a question about the debate, and that is, it seems to me that we're having a harder time having intellectually honest debates. It seems to me that more and more debates are sounding like crossfire. And are you concerned about that? Do you agree with me, or
well,
have I been watching too much crossfire?
No, I do agree with you. The debates have gotten spiteful. They've gotten angry. But, you know, part of that is technology. Mm-hmm. Gosh, you go back 25 years, we were all reading two or three newspapers, Washington Post, right. New York Times, Wall Street Journal. Now you can go on blogs in the morning, and before you've had your first cup of coffee, you can see 1,800 people arguing right. about something that last night you'd never even heard of.
Right.
So the technology has made the debate much more vigorous and much more vociferous. And so I think it's going to be like this for a while.
Well, it's unfortunate, and it just looks like that we ought to develop some kind of a standard for debate, that where your debate, if you're going to disagree, that you still do it in an intellectually honest way. And the point I'm making is, when anybody, Republican or Democrat, takes issue with someone else just because it's the political thing to do, but not the intellectually honest thing to do. I understand politics. I'm not naive about politics. I understand that some people call it a blood sport, and I understand that you've got to try to leverage your side as much as possible. But at some point in time, if something is absolutely black and white, where's the credibility in trying to make it look gray?
Well, exactly. And gosh, it has changed so much. I mean, I was in the Congress in the 1970s, and yeah, there was some partisanship. But by and large, you walked across the other side of the aisle and you talked to your counterpart in the other party and said, look, you think A and I think B, but how about this for a compromise? And he would say, no, how about that for a compromise? And pretty soon you'd have something, you'd get some agreement, you'd write it up, and off you'd go. But now, you know, there's an hourly press conference. There's bloggers putting out the information. The media has greatly expanded. It's just a much more difficult world because of the technology. But, you know, it'll sort out. America's sorted out for a couple of hundred years now, and it'll sort out again. But for the moment, it's kind of a crazy argument, whatever you're talking about.
Governor, and you didn't know I was going to ask you about this, but the war on terrorism, the English are really having their challenges right now. Did they get behind the curve on dealing with the homeland security over there?
Well, you know, I don't know the answer to that, and all I know is what I see on the television and read in the papers. But I think Tony Blair has been extraordinarily strong. I mean, he has stood right.
He's
up.
He's a leader for our time, isn't he?
Oh, he is. He is. There's a little Winston Churchill in him.
I'm so impressed with him.
Oh, he has just done very well. But you know, this war on terror is going to be with us. I did a piece for opinionjournal.com a few weeks ago.
The Wall Street Journal
website, saying, you know, this is going to be a 75-year war.
Yeah.
This is going to be like trying to end communism, which took 75 years. And the terrorists are serious people with a goal of an Islamic takeover of first the Middle East and then the rest of the world, and,
right.
and it's not going to go away. So
I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be more frustrating than the Cold War.
Oh, it's going to be
I'm afraid.
Frustrating.
But and we'll be talking about this for a long time to come. But it's interesting that you know the United States renewed the Homeland Security Act and what not the term. What's the word the thing that they just renewed?
The Patriot Act.
Patriot Act is what I meant to say. They just renewed that, which I think is a good thing. Governor, thank you for being here. As always, it's always a pleasure.
Jim, I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I will see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.